word today, and we pray for each one, for each of us here, that, dear Christ, you'd speak to us again. We need to hear your word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. First little section that we had today read is about Jesus. He comes from Nazareth, and he was baptised in the Jordan. And then just as he's coming up out of the water, he sees the Spirit is descending, that the heavens torn apart, and you must know that the heavens are there. And as he's coming up, they're torn apart, and the Spirit is descending. He saw the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and there's this voice, the Father's voice from heaven: "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." You today can hear that word. That's the word. If you have faith in Christ, you trust him. That is the Father's word over you. You're my beloved son and daughter. With you I'm well pleased. Not because you've been morally flawless, not because you're a really top person, but because you belong to Jesus Christ and all his merit and righteousness and love and joy has been given to you. So, you know, you must hear that. Some people never, ever hear that anyone's pleased with them. They live their life feeling criticised and not sure if anyone actually thinks much or well of them. But you put your faith in Christ, and the word that is over your life is, "With you I'm well pleased." Paul says it differently. He says, since we're justified because and we have peace with God through Christ, that is the standing that you have, you'll always have, because Christ, you belong to him. The next section is what happens really to Jesus, that it sort of happens to us when we become people of faith. The Spirit immediately, Mark says, he loves this word, immediately, but immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days. The Israelites were 40 years in the wilderness, and they were the son that failed to, you know, to follow the voice of the Lord. They went round and round. But this is the new Israel, the new humanity beginning here. And for 40 days, he's out there tempted by Satan. You're not a true human being until you've been tested. And you and I will be tested throughout our whole lives. Sometimes late in your life, you have more testing than early, but you will have testing. But that is the great part. It's a good part for you to have testing, because you're relying on the Lord. You learn to rely on the Father's provision. And here's Jesus, he's with wild beasts. I had never thought much about what that meant till one year, as we visited a family in Ethiopia who'd gone over as missionaries, and Lynn said, "Oh, while we're there, can we, you know, have a bit of a holiday thing as well?" And I thought, "Oh, we can swing it in, you know." So we went out to Masa Mari, to the one of these little safari trips, and we took a young lad whom we'd sponsored since the kids were little. He was 20s now, and we went out there. And you go in one of these viewing buses, and there's giraffes and stuff, but if you just get off and have a little walk in the paddock, you're with wild beasts immediately. There's lions out there. They'll rip you to pieces. Jesus was out, and we know there were lions in that region. There was, in your can read in Kings, there was a lion on the road who killed a prophet there at one stage. So Jesus is out there and he's among the wild beasts, but it can be symbolic for, you know, your life, your friends, where you are in life. You know, there's demonic powers, true, but there's this the whole action. But Jesus is out there, and in the wilderness, in the rough and tumble of life, in the barren, if you like, dryness even of whatever the wilderness is, he's there, and the angels waited on him. He trusted the Father there. And here's this man who has the first blow against the evil one who, you know, tempts him, but he doesn't fail. So he's our Lord, we're in him, and he's the triumphant victor over all the powers of evil. Our society at the moment has grown up with a Christian background, but we've flung ourselves back into a wilderness, really, of having rejected a lot of that. And I can tell you, it's a wasteland out there for many. You know, something of our greatness. You know, Jesus, he had his temptations, but he fought them and had some victory. To have a few victories early somewhere in your life is a good thing. You know, we somehow or another we've capitulated to the point where, you know, our children are, our young people are playing Russian roulette with pills, you know, at rock concerts to, you know, you might live or you might die, but by gee, you're going to have some fun in the meantime. That's, you know, that's a wilderness of what it is to be human. That's a, you know, and I'm not, you know, I was a dopey teenager too, so I'm not saying any, you know, about that, but our sense of our greatness, of our humanity, we actually just got to rediscover who Jesus is. We do, at every level. And you know, it's a wilderness out there. There's also, you know, again, I'm not, you know, asking you or anyone to be people perfection and so on. Jesus, you know, said to, in, you know, you need to be perfect. Not meaning morally flawless, but meaning towards God. And you know, our immorality has it's caused a huge wreckage in our society at the moment. That it has. It just plain has. You know, I've caught up recently with some friends and families and so on, and it's devastating. You know, we just roll with it, and oh well, that's how it goes these days. Well, it doesn't have to go that way. It doesn't. You can learn to tough it out, and you can learn to find the moral glory, really, of stickability, you know. And I'm just saying, you find that in Jesus Christ. You find that in him. So here he is, the great one, and we're not. We're the sinners for whom Christ died, but he died to redeem us and to make us new people. So we're watching here as Jesus is going on. And now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. You know, the time the world's been waiting for, the Saviour has come. And the kingdom of God is at hand. God is wanting to exert his rule in a way that befriends sinners and brings them home and lands them in life and eternal life. So Jesus says, repent, come on, you change. And believe in the good news, believe in the gospel. You have to change and realise what God has got for you as a humanity. He's got for you as eternal life and starts now. What he's got for you is a way of living by listening to the word, and it's time to change. And you know, we've heard some testimonies. Isn't it lovely when one person just becomes a Christian? just the change affects everybody. And we are approaching a new year. We have ministries, every one of us. And we have family members and friends. A lot of them are not Christians. The next section is to help us. Jesus said, believe the good news. Don't just poo-poo it and say it's nonsense. Actually embrace it. Believe it. Believe it. And Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. If you look in John's Gospel, you can see they'd actually gone looking for him, and John the Baptist had said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and they'd gone looking. So it wasn't their first encounter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. But prior to that, we hear that they were saying, look, here's the Lamb of God. And two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus saw them following, he said, what are you looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? They said, come. He said, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said, we've found the Messiah. Which is translated anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You're to be called Kephas, which means Peter. So that's taken place, and now Jesus is walking along, and they've got this relationship. He said, right, come on, follow me. And they leave the family business, probably not because they didn't like fishing, but there was something great, something really great going on. And so they followed Jesus. You and I are called to, Jesus calls us over the threshold of the world's wild, restless sea, and he's saying, come on, follow me, follow me. That's what he's saying to you this year, and he's giving you a ministry to go fishing. Do you like fishing? Not for fish. Fishing for fish is good, but fishing for people is even better. Excuse me. Fishing for people. You have that many people who you're related to, who are part of the people God's given you, and that's where you're to be fishing, among the people you know and you meet, and talk to them, tell them the good news. This is what happens. I'll just read Jesus described how it works in Matthew 13, just a little bit. He tells a parable and he says, well, the fishing goes a bit like this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And they used to have the nets with some rocks to weigh it down so the little fish couldn't escape. And when that is full and they drew it to shore, they sat down and put the good into the baskets, but they threw out the, you know what we call them? That's what we call them. As an Australian term, puffers and all those other ones that aren't any good. You throw them out and you're left with whiting, you know, beautiful silver fin and yellow fin and even a big King George in there, and a mullet, and all the good fish are left, and you can eat them. But this story goes on and says, they threw out the bad, so it will be at the end of the age. Your life, humanity, is counting for something. God is about something with humanity. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Colourful language Jesus is using to describe the fact that your lives are not just your own. They're God's lives, and they're for him, they're designed for him. You're designed to be a good fish. Mixing the metaphors there a bit, but the point of it is, you and I, as we bring good news, it has a certain effect where people respond and are part of that kingdom action. Okay, the last little section, I just want to invite you to think about your life, your ministry. Firstly, do you have the gift? Has the Spirit of God come upon you as it came upon Jesus? Has that taken place? It can happen anew again. Sometimes our Christian lives become, a bit bland or something, but, go on being filled with the Spirit. Remember you're baptised in the Spirit. Be responsive to the Spirit of God upon you. Has the Spirit been given to you? Do you have some pretty fierce battles with the powers of evil? If you're a Christian, you're a believer, you will. And you can't defeat them, but in Christ you're victorious. You draw upon his strength. And the third question is, have you and do you change? Are you being transformed? Jesus said, repent. Means be altogether different. Is that happening? Are you being transformed? Repentant. Turning afresh to the Lord. It's just a rhetorical question, but, ask it to yourself and then answer it to yourself and say, well, yeah, not so much, but I think I'll do what you say, Be transformed, be renewed in your mind that you might know what is the will of God and do it and be involved in it, and there's your place in life. And finally, how's the fishing going? How's the fishing going with other people? Risk a little bit of, the kickback, say something. Every time I visit Nana's place, she says da 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 to me. Keep saying something, Nana, Don't have to be moralistic at all and picky, but just, point people to Christ, Jesus will help you. Say a word. The word of Jesus' name, of his life, have faith in it. That's where people need to go. And he will speak to them and guide them in the wilderness of their lives. Sometimes I don't quite know, when I'm fishing and when I'm talking to people I love and now, I don't quite know what to say, but the Lord gives us his word, and he helps us to say something and to pray for someone, just to say, we'll pray for you about that. It's a great thing. It's a great way to have a ministry and ask Jesus to do something and then see what happens. Well, what happens when Jesus gets involved is immediately some wonderful things take place. Immediately, he is on the job. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today. I've started with a great New Year's resolution, and the clock says I'm right inside the appointed hour. So, no criticism from the parishioners today. Not on that point, anyway. May the Lord bless you in 2019. May it be a great year, like when Rosinka came out into a free land and new and wonderful things happened, and you came, and I've heard some of the lovely story, and it's still a lovely story. May God go on adding his blessing to you and to all of us here as his story grows. We pray earnestly for our friends and our nation. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear Lord, how beautiful it is when we hear your voice and good news comes to us of your forgiveness. Thank you that it's total. When you say to us, Father, that you're well pleased with us, it's a surprise. And we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you too for the battles, the temptations that strengthen us. And we thank you as well for the ministry that you give us. We pray for everyone here that 2019 will be a fruitful year with the others we know and love. Send us, Lord, to people, new people, to share what we know of you and of life. And Father, as we look forward to another year of your grace, we pray for our Prime Minister, for our nation, and for the many people with a Christian background who sort of dropped it years ago and maybe wish they hadn't. We pray that they might turn and believe this year and find life and hope and health. So thank you, Lord, and take us out into the new year with faith and hope and love. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
What better way to start a new year and to wrap up a service than to sing together, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found"?
In Christ alone, my